کرسی ہوگا تازی ٹھیک ہے کرسی یہاں لگا دیں
ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावतीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः कर्मेन्द्रियाणि संयम्य कर्मेन्द्रियाणि संयम्य यास्ते मनसा स्मरन् यास्ते मनसा स्मरन् इन्द्रियातां विमूढात्मा इन्द्रियातां विमूढात्मा मिथ्याचारस्य उच्यते मिथ्याचारस्य उच्यते कर्मेन्द्रियाणि संयम्य यास्ते मनसा स्मरन् इन्द्रियातां विमूढात्मा मिथ्याचारस्य उच्यते यस्त्विन्द्रियाणि मनसा नियम्यारभतेऽर्जुन नियम्यारभतेऽर्जुन कर्मेन्द्रियै कर्मयोगम् कर्मेन्द्रियै कर्मयोगम् असक्तस्य विशिष्यते असक्तस्य विशिष्यते यस्त्विन्द्रियाणि मनसा नियम्यारभतेऽर्जुन कर्मेन्द्रियै कर्मयोगम् असक्तस्य विशिष्यते नियतं कुरु कर्मत्वम् नियतं कुरु कर्मत्वम् कर्मजाह्योह्यकर्मणः कर्मजाह्योह्यकर्मणः शरीरयात्रापि च ते शरीरयात्रापि च ते न प्रसिद्ध्येद कर्मणः न प्रसिद्ध्येद कर्मणः नियतं कुरु कर्मत्वम् कर्मजाह्योह्यकर्मणः शरीरयात्रापि च ते न प्रसिद्ध्येद कर्मणः यज्ञार्थात् कर्मणोऽन्यत्र यज्ञार्थात् कर्मणोऽन्यत्र लोकोऽयं कर्मबन्धनः लोकोऽयं कर्मबन्धनः तदर्थं कर्म कौन्तेय तदर्थं कर्म कौन्तेय मुक्तसङ्गः समाचर मुक्तसङ्गः समाचर यज्ञार्थात् कर्मणोऽन्यत्र लोकोऽयं कर्मबन्धनः तदर्थं कर्म कौन्तेय मुक्तसङ्गः समाचर सह यज्ञा प्रजा सृष्ट्वा सह यज्ञा प्रजा सृष्ट्वा पुरोवाच प्रजापतिः पुरोवाच प्रजापतिः अनेन प्रसविष्यत्वम् अनेन प्रसविष्यत्वम् एष वोत्कृष्टकामधो एष वोत्कृष्टकामधो सह यज्ञा प्रजा सृष्ट्वा पुरोवाच प्रजापतिः अनेन प्रसविष्यत्वम् एष वोत्कृष्टकामधो Lord Krishna has been emphasizing on action here, wherein he says that action cannot be avoided. Inaction will not lead you to actionlessness. Similarly, renunciation per se will not lead you to perfection. Because when your body stops working, but the mind continues to work, in other words, the thoughts, desires continue to work, but the body has stopped its physical actions, then you are not going to reach perfection. On the contrary, you are going to be suppressing your desires, you in turn become hypocrite. In verse number 6, he says, Karmendriyani Samyamya means, Karmendriyani means organs of action. We have organs of perception and we have organs of action. Five organs of perception and five organs of action. So when Karmendriyani Samyamya means controlling the Karmendriyas, stopping actions, but mentally keep on thinking about the sense objects. Karmendriyani samyamya ya aste. Ya means whoever. Aste means sits. Manasa smaran indriyata. Mentally thinking about indriyata means sense objects. Nityachara sa uchyate. He is said to be an hypocrite. Nityachara means hypocrite. So what he is saying is, the three transactions of life are receipt, reaction and response. The sense organs of perceptions receive the stimuli from the external world, and the desires, the mind and intellect inside react and then sends forth a response through the organs of action. Now, merely cutting out the organs of action, you are not stopping the reactions that is happening within your mind. Then you think by stopping the response, my mind will become controlled, which is wrong. Right? In fact, it is mind, the mental desires that express itself as actions. Now you are not allowing the expressions to happen. So it's going to become more of a suppression, which in fact is going to increase your desires further. It's not going to eliminate desire, it's going to increase your desires further. So therefore he says it's going to produce contrary results. So this is not going to help you by stopping the action. See, in other words, it's the mind that is running through the senses into the outside world. Senses per se has got nothing to do. Simply by plucking your eyes, you are allowing, you are not allowing rather, your mind to express through the eyes, or the world to enter through the eyes into you. But what about the already existing desires? In fact, you have made it worse for yourself. At least earlier you had an opportunity to go out. Now you have physically restrained you, but mentally your mind in fact has become much stronger. In fact, the more you say don't, the more the desire increases. So what is the way out? All that he is trying to say is, no doubt, we have to turn within. See, spirituality is what? At the moment, your thoughts are going towards the world. Right? Turning them within is spirituality. Everything that helps you to turn your mind towards the consciousness within is spiritual. Everything that takes your mind towards the world outside is non-spiritual. So the effort that we are putting in here every week is to try and see how we can turn our mind towards the consciousness. At the moment it is going towards the world, acquisition and enjoyment. I want to acquire these objects so that I can contact them and enjoy. All the time my mind is going outside. I need to turn it inside. So it is the mind that needs to be controlled, not the physical body. It is easier to control the physical body relatively compared to the mind. So you can't stop action and try to gain control over the mind. So how do you have to do it? You have to do it through Karma Yoga. He says in verse number 7. Yasvindriyani manasa Niyam vyaravate arjuna Karmendriyai karma yogam Asaktasya vishishyate Yasvindriyani manasa Niyam vyaravate arjuna Karmendriyai karma yogam Asaktasya vishishyate. But he who restraining the senses by the mind, O Arjuna, engages his organs of action in the yoga of action without attachment excels. Verse 7, chapter 3. So he says, he who restraining the senses by the mind, manasa, by discrimination, by awareness, O Arjuna, engages his organs of action in the yoga of action without attachment, he excels. Sa vishishyate. In other words, the river is flowing. By building a dam, what are you doing? You are shutting the flow. So what happens to the river water? It starts rising in the other direction, right? Similarly, by stopping your actions, you only lead them to suppression. Instead, what he is saying is, give them a higher direction. That's all he is saying. We discussed in detail when we spoke about verse number 4, why he says to reach actionlessness, inaction will not help. He said actionlessness is non-doership, not non-doing. Remember this. You can remain in a state of non-doing physically, but mentally you can have the doership. On the contrary, what Krishna is saying is, you can do things renouncing the doership. When you do things renouncing the doership, which is I, and renouncing the possessiveness, which is mine. You remember in the first chapter, Arjuna started by saying, take my chariot and place it in between both the armies. He said, my chariot. That is why Krishna smiled, said, okay, you want me to take your chariot? I will take it. And he placed it in between both the armies. You know that, we should not forget that. Then from there, Arjuna had come a long way by realizing that he is succumbed to his emotions and surrendered to Krishna and sought his advice. Then Krishna gave the second chapter, where he emphasized on the knowledge. Then little bit he spoke about Karma Yoga. Then Arjuna wanted to know about the manner of perfection, which Lord Krishna detailed. And then in the third chapter now, again he is coming back to Karma Yoga, because Arjuna asked a question, why are you forcing me to do action, while you consider knowledge superior to action? Therefore here now he is talking about why one should act. So he says, simply by stopping action, your doership is not going to go away. All you need to do is remove the doership and let the action continue. So he says, do it as a karma yoga. Whatever actions you do it as a karma yoga. So in other words, you must lead the lifestyle of a grihastha, regulating your sense contacts with dharma as its base. You lead your life. Thus slowly your mind will withdraw itself from the world. It's the question of rising the mind above the world, not making it fight with the world. It's not fighting. Any amount of fighting you will only lose. How do you slowly raise it above? I even spoke about in that context, I said, when you contact it consciously, anything, then you understand that there is nothing in that object. Today we are contacting everything in a hurry. So we don't realize that there is nothing in that object. We have been told that there is nothing in it by the scriptures, by so many people, and we keep on repeating it. But within us, we feel there is something in it. That is why we keep on going after it. So how do you do it practically? As he says, you dedicate it to the higher. Understand that everything in this world is happening is because of that totality, what we call as Ishvara or Lord. That Lord is the one who is behind every action. I am only a trustee. Right? Actions are happening through me, actions are not happening because of me. Agree with me? So many actions are happening through me. They are not happening because of me. There is this Lord or totality who is basically the one who does everything. I am not the doer, dedicated for the total end. See, for example, you can even relatively speaking understand it as pitching up a higher ideal and working for it. For example, when you have Janmashtami, you prepare things that Lord Krishna likes. Nowadays everybody buys from the shop, but traditionally they make it at home, right? Incidentally, you might also like them, but while you are preparing it, you are saying it is for Krishna. So you first make sure that you are clean, and then the products which you have bought from the shop is best quality. Then you start preparing it. All the while you are preparing, your thought is Krishna. Your body is the one which is doing the action, preparing the sweets, cooking, everything is happening with the body, but the mind is on Krishna.
So Guruji, what you're saying is that it's a practical way when you dedicate it to a higher cause,
yes,
of letting go of the attachment.
Yes, that's what he means, without attachment. Without attachment, whenever the word attachment comes, remember this: you cannot detach from the lower unless you get attached to the higher. We have constantly mentioned this. The principle of attachment is, how do you rise above attachment? By getting into something higher consciously, by conscious direction towards higher, you become free from the lower. When you climb the ladder, when you have kept your right foot firmly on the upper rung, then you remove the left foot from the lower rung. You with me? So, in other words, karma yoga is nothing but actions directed towards the higher. You put it like this. And actions that are done consciously, firstly actions that have given a higher direction, then those actions that are done consciously, objectively, then actions that are done with prasada buddhi, means any result that it may produce, I accept. Before action, you dedicate it for a higher cause, not for my personal reason, what I will get out of it. You can do an action because what I will get out of it attitude, or what I can do for you attitude, or what is to be done, I do it as a representative of the total undo. The first one is selfish, second one is unselfish, third one is selfless. Strictly speaking, he is talking about the third one. Second one is a compromise. Third one is what we are already engaged in today, which is karma. In second one also, there is ego in a way. As if I can work for the higher cause. You are doing it for the welfare of everybody, but as a representative of the Lord, I dedicate it to Him. Arpana Bhava. When you do an action with Arpana Bhava, with reference to the action that propels the action. See, today my action is propelled by desires, what I can get from it. Now here I am doing it as a dedication to the Lord. This is all I know. This is what I am supposed to do. I do that. Karma Yoga. Then when I am doing it, I am doing it as is representative. Then by the result comes, I accept it with prasad bhava. Whatever might be the result, I am not constantly thinking, I hope this result will be profit and not loss. then the worship has come. Whenever my and I comes, the worship has come, it ceases to be karma yoga, it becomes karma. So what he is trying to say is, there is no point frustrating yourself. Rather than frustrating, you express your nature but direct it towards the higher. That's why I keep on saying the grahastha ashrama is a karma pradana ashrama where you actually go through your desires. You express your nature, that you dedicate it to the Lord and then you do. Then it becomes karma yoga. Then it becomes grahastha ashrama. Otherwise you are just leading your life as per your likes and dislikes. So he says, it is better to be a karma yogi than an immature sannyasi. Sannyas is a state of maturity. You don't take up sannyas. You graduate yourself to sannyas state. By taking up sannyas, you become a hypocrite. Like he said in verse number 6. If you forcefully take up sannyas, you become a hypocrite. Simply by putting an akaro, your thoughts suddenly change or what? It doesn't. And once your thoughts are changed, whether you put the akaro robe or not doesn't really matter. You may put it for a certain reason. So therefore sannyas has got nothing to do with the clothes. It's to do with your mental state. A state where your mind has become free from the worldly thoughts. That is sannyas. Right? So therefore karma yoga, when you keep on doing, your mind matures and then you become sannyas. That's why they kept it as brahmacharya ashrama, grahastha ashrama, vanaprastha ashrama and then sannyas ashrama. Vanaprastha ashrama is a retired lifestyle. You have not walked away from the home, but your mind is moved towards God, towards consciousness. Then later on you can even go to a next level where you actually take up the lifestyle of a sannyasi. Whether you take up that lifestyle or not, you are already a sannyasi. So he is saying it is better to be a karma yogi than an immature sannyasi. There is, in other words, we try to hasten everything. You can't walk before you crawl. That is the advice Krishna is giving. Because if you remember, he asked, why are you pushing me to action when knowledge is better? So the answer Krishna is giving is, you can't walk before you crawl. So therefore I am advising you to crawl. No doubt walking is better, but how can you walk before you started crawling? So therefore there is no shortcut method here. Generally in our mind we do an action to get something out of it. There are four goals that Vedanta talks about: artha, kama, dharma, moksha, purusharthas, right? Usually we do everything for artha and kama, right? Artha kama means what? Artha means
money,
security basically. Kama means entertainment. So I am doing things to procure wealth and objects, acquire them, by contacting them I can entertain myself. This is leading you to bondage, karma. Now he is saying do it with dharma, not just for artha and kama. Do it as your dharma. Then slowly, slowly your mind will go towards moksha. If you short circuit it, if you try to shorten it, it will not help you. See, mind is desiring something and the desire manifests in the senses. You actually express the desire through your senses. You act, then you realize, my God, I am possessed by this desire. So you in a way feel you are helpless. Desire is so powerful, it made me act. I've done it. So how do you realize there is something in you which is even more powerful than desire? The way is sankalp. Small exercises like, for example, fasting is to build this sankalp, is to see the power you have over your senses. So what, in other words, is the mind comes and says, eat. Right? But you take sankalp saying, I am not going to have food tonight. I want to give rest to my system. Now, mind is coming and saying, no, no, you must eat, otherwise you will not be able to sleep. Something or the other, it will keep on coming in, giving reasons. Then you withstand all that and you consciously try to focus on some other work, and then slowly one night fasting you do. Then you realize that you were able to overcome the mind. You are not forcefully stopping the mind. Then it becomes like verse number 6. Are you with me? So now you realize that your mind can be given a higher direction by you and controlled by you. If you leave it as it is, inaction, idle mind will become a devil. In other words, physically people control themselves and sitting down idle, then mind will again come. Instead, you have taken a vow. So what do you need to do for your mind? Give a higher direction. So slowly you see that you are able to change its course. So from idle mind, you go to ideal mind. That is Karma Yoga. By forcefully stopping your mind, you become idle mind. Idle mind will only become a devil's workshop. Isn't it? It will play havoc. Instead, give a higher direction. Engage it. Be engaged. Be at work. So that slowly, slowly, your mind starts tasting the higher. And once it started tasting the higher, it will not go back to the lower. So, he is saying it is better to act than stopping action, inaction. And by this way, you will rise above the desires and then you will go to realization. That's what he says in verse number 7.
Niyatam kuru karmatvam, niyatam kuru karmatvam, karmajahyohya karmanaha, karmajahyohya karmanaha, sharirayatra pichate, na prasidhyeda karmanaha, na prasidhyeda karmanaha, niyatam kuru karmatvam, karmajahyohya karmanaha, sharirayatra pichate, na prasidhyeda karmanaha.
Niyatam kuru karmatvam karmajahyohya karmanaha. Perform your obligatory actions. Niyatam karma. For action is superior to inaction. Karmajahyohya karmanaha. Karmana. Compared to inaction, action is superior, better. Sharira yatra pichate. Even the travel with the body, you are traveling in this body, is not possible. The maintenance of this body would not be possible by inaction. Even to digest your food, little bit of walking is required, isn't it? So if you do not do action you can't enjoy. The maintenance of your body requires action. Inaction is death. So he's saying, perform your obligatory duties. Niyatam karma, nitya karma and naimitika karma are the two aspects of niyatam karma. Niyatam karma means what? Obligatory duties. And what are they? Nitya karma and naimitika karma. What are the nitya karmas? Daily, routine, obligatory duties. Called as nitya karma. The naimitika karma is special obligatory duty. You are going in your car to your work to do your nitya karma. On the way you saw one fellow met with an accident and he is lying on the road. There is no help. Now this becomes your special obligatory duty. You call the ambulance, you call the police, and then you try to save that life. So you have nitya karma and naimitika karma. This nitya karma for a grihastha, always remember this. I mentioned this before also, but in this context again it is better to remember it once again. In the brahmacharya ashrama, to consolidate yourself, you have been taking and taking and taking, isn't it? You have been only taking. Your parents paid your school fees. The society provided things. You never paid anything back to the society. You were only consolidating yourself. Now, once you move from brahmacharya ashrama to grihastha ashrama, it is now for your time to pay back. So grihastha ashrama is an ashrama of giving. Brahmacharya ashrama is an ashrama of don't say taking, consolidating, absorbing, receiving, strengthening. So brahmacharya ashrama is an ashrama of strengthening the roots. Grihastha ashrama is an ashrama of giving. Now in the scriptures, see, when he says niyatam karma, as it is mentioned by the scriptures, that's what it means. Scriptures say you should do this, you should do that, you do that. What do the scriptures say for grihastha? Now when we say scripture, shastra, what is shastra or scripture? What is shruti? What is that?
Something which has stood the test of time.
Or the essence of the experiences of the masters which are good for our life and living. Which are shreya for our life and living. Through their personal experiences, your parents have gone through many things and then they have seen. Like, I have seen this in generally a layman also speaks, I did not study, therefore now I am working as a laborer. I want my son to at least be a graduate. I don't want my son to be going through all this hardship. So what has he? A limited way, he has learned from his experience that education will help. So he is giving the advice, so the essence, you understand? So like that, the essence of the experiences of the masters has been put down as scriptures, which is good for our life and living. That is why always you must respect the scriptures, whichever scripture it might be. Whether it is a Hindu scripture, Islamic, doesn't matter. If you are a Muslim, you go through the Islamic scriptures. If you happen to be a Hindu, you go through the Hindu scriptures, but no two scriptures will say contradictory things. They may appear contradictory. Therefore, just because the scriptures are saying things which are good for you doesn't mean you take them blindly. You don't disbelieve them. You should have shraddha. Right? But at the moment, whatever the scriptures are saying, you straight away don't know. So you accept them as truths laid down by the masters. But don't follow them blindly, because by following them blindly, you are not going to better your life anyway. So what you are supposed to do? You are supposed to follow with Shraddha, but with questioning, inquiring, experimenting in your life, and then seeing the result and imbibing. This is how you are supposed to proceed. So in these scriptures, Niyatam Karma means as mentioned by the scriptures. In the scriptures, for Grihastha, Pancha Maha Yajna is mentioned. What are the Pancha Maha Yajnas? This you must remember. The five Yajnas, sacrifices that the scriptures talk about that a Grihastha must do. What are they? Have you heard about it anywhere? Anybody? Deva Yajna, Pitra Yajna, Bhuta Yajna, Manushya Yajna, Rishi Yajna or Rishi Rina. These are the five Yajnas. Deva Yajna means Yajna done for the Devas. Pitri Yajna, Yajna done for the ancestors. Manushya Yajna, Yajna done for human beings. Bhuta Yajna, Yajna done for other beings other than human beings, animals, birds. Then comes Rishi Yajna or Rishi Rina, which is the Yajna you do for the masters, the gurus. What basically it means is a Grihastha has an obligation to take care of all this. Without Devas, without Devas, Devas the manifested powers, the beings at a higher dimension, you take care of the ecological system, then the rain god showers rain. Rain god means Deva.
Yeah, it's a good way of putting it. That Deva Yajna, you take care of the ecological system.
Yes. So you do what you have to do for the ecological system without bringing an imbalance in the ecological system. Then the rain god showers rain. Now, in fact, yesterday in NDTV they were saying there is drought here, there is drought there, there is no rain here, there is no rain there. You go on doing all the nonsense on one side. Then on the other side you are blaming as if God has forgotten to send forth rain. See, the whole thing is a cycle, right? So, Deva Yajna is what? The Yajna that you do to maintain the balance at the ecological system. Then the rain showers, the temperature is maintained, the heat is not going to increase. You understand? So, living in accordance with nature without disturbing the nature. Deva Yajna. If you go by the tradition, in the olden days there were certain actual Yajna worship that was to be conducted, but in the present context you need not worry about it. Right? So in the present context you understand it this way. Then Pitru Yajna. What is Pitru? Ancestors. You could not be here without your ancestors. So you owe it to them. Right? Now this Pitru Yajna you need to understand a little bit. See, there are certain Shraad ceremony and all these things that you do. So a lot of people come and ask me, sir, should we do it? Should we not do it? Is it okay if we don't do it? Why do we do it? And all these things. What the scriptures are telling us, I'll tell you. Like we have studied before, container, content and consciousness. Don't forget that. Because that is the base. Container as guide. as far as the ancestors are concerned. That particular container in which they were traveling has been dropped. But the content continues. Are you with me? The content is traveling. Now in the higher lokas, when they are traveling, what they say is you have an obligation to give them a direction towards higher. For example, before we start the class, we all collectively sit and pray. Om Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu. Let there be no disturbance. May we all strive together. So, what are we trying to do? When we collectively command, then the thought, collective thoughts, bring about conducive environment for us to study. Just because we prayed doesn't mean we have to stop our efforts. So they will have to move according to their karma. But you can give them head tailwind. Like an aircraft, when it travels one way to Delhi from Chennai, maybe 3 hours. When it goes back, maybe it reaches in 2 hours 45 minutes. Why? Because there was tailwind. So by doing Pitru Yajnas, you are giving thought force towards their journey, towards the higher. In modern context, simply being grateful and imbibing those values that they had passed on to us, and having good thoughts and being grateful to them. Mechanically you do things. You are telling the Panditji, please make it faster. Start ceremony. You understand? And rest of your life you are cursing your parents. Just mechanically you do shraad on that day. This is better not to do this way. Yes, basically that is the thought of this yajna. So in other words, you are supposed to be having at the thought level gratitude and imbibing those values and carrying it forward. Right? This is Pitru Yajna. Remembering all those people who have contributed for you to be here. Read me. That's what it is. Then Bhuta Yajna. You are not living in this world all alone. There are so many other beings, isn't it? Can you live without animals around you? The other day in Times of India, I'll come to the next. Not that I forgot, there are two more Yajnas. Manushya Yajna and Rishi Yajna. Bhuta Yajna is what? Yajna towards the other beings. I was talking about an article I read in the Times of India magazine, newspaper, many few years ago. They were talking about the role that tadpoles, frogs, play in preventing dengue and chikungunya and all that. This dengue and chikungunya, I believe, are caused by the mosquitoes that are bred in the fresh water ponds. Like when it rains, the water stagnates. And then the mosquitoes that breed in that, I believe, causes this dengue and the chikungunya. Now, I have seen it myself. When the rain comes, that immediately you will see tadpoles there. Then the tadpoles will become frogs. They will start eating all the eggs that is laid by the mosquitoes. Nowadays you go and see there are no tadpoles, no frogs, nothing. As it is, we are having chemical rains. Yeah. And as it is, there are so many other reasons why there is no tadpoles. We have destroyed everything. nature. Right? So you find it is coming back and hitting you with more and more disease. In other words, what I am saying is, you don't realize how the tadpole is connected to your life. Are you with me? So that article was beautifully presenting how the tadpole has a lot to do with your life. So this whole universe is a coexistence. Right? We are all interdependent. We are dependent on the plants giving oxygen. The plants are dependent on carbon dioxide. So there is a constant interdependence. So therefore, Bhutaye again. Right? In South India, first thing in the morning, outside their house, there will be a rangoli that is put. Rangoli is supposed to be put with rice flour. Because the ants and all those things are fed, and they keep away also, and they are taken care of also. So basically, understanding that I am not living here alone. How does the ego manifest? Ego manifests in three ways. I alone exist. I am supreme. I am the doer. I alone exist means I am at the center. Everybody around me are there only to cater to me. All these people are there only to serve me. As though all these animals and everything are there only to serve me. Right? This is how the ego functions. Karma Yoga is what? Nullifying that ego, dissolving that ego. So you do Bhuta Yajna with this understanding. So that you are not strengthening the ego. Right? So you see, the tradition is you teach the children to give, to share. But nowadays, on the room door, entrance door, this is my room, don't enter. You are teaching more and more of my, and people misunderstand this as independence. This is not independence. This is intolerance. This is segregating oneself from the total. Read me. So, Bhuta Yajna, where you feed all the other animals, you take care of the animals. Whatever you have to do for the other beings also. In fact, the Vedas, it is said, don't cut a tree. And if you had to cut a tree for some reason, make sure that you have planted much more. Before. So in other words, just for the taste, an animal is never sacrificed. Please understand this. This is exactly what Krishna also told Arjuna. If you do an action for your selfish motive, then it will bring you pap. What can better opportunity come to you? What better opportunity can come to you? Unsought war. You are not seeking this war. You in fact tried your best to avert this war. But this war was thrust on you. Are you with me? When this war was thrust on you, you just do it as an instrument. That is Niyatam Karma. You are not killing people just for your personal ambition. Not that you are against killing either. In the name of Ahimsa, people become against doing their duties without understanding how the nature works. You can't be against violence or for violence. Against violence is not non-violence. Absence of violence is non-violence. There is an ocean of difference between the two. Against or for means what? two extremes of the mind. Absence means beyond mind. In the mind only the violence is not there. Against violence, you understand? I will not kill anybody. Doership is there. I will kill anybody. Doership is there. Who am I to kill anybody? Who am I not to kill anybody? Really, I am telling you, an instance that happened when I was studying in the ashram made me think for many days. You know, Swamiji's mother, we call her Nanamma. Nanamma means father's mother. She doesn't understand much of English or anything, but she religiously used to come and sit and listen to Swamiji when he talks in the ashram. So the class is there in the morning from 9:30 to 10:45. Then after the class is over, we have what we call as karma time. We go and change and do karma, work, whatever work one is interested and supposed to do for the ashram. Just before we start our karma, few of the students, we used to go to Nanamma's puja room, sit with her, take prasad, and then explain to her few things that Swamiji said that day, you know. Then one day, like that, when I went to a puja room, I saw one small cockroach, you know. We keep the ashram very clean, but sometimes, you know, in spite of your best efforts, it still comes. As a reaction in me, I didn't want to throw it out, I didn't want to kill it. So I just took my kerchief and caught that cockroach in my hand, and I threw it through the window. It was in the first floor, right? I don't want to know what has happened to it. So I just peeped through the window, the cockroach just settled down on the road. Immediately a bird came and took it away. It became a meal for the bird. Now what I am trying to say is, it was there in the puja room. I happened to be there. I didn't want to kill it, but it had to be killed. Now what I don't know whether you understand what I am saying. You are neither the doer in terms of killing or non-killing. It is happening through you. So to say I will not kill, also ego. Doership is there. Doership is the greatest violence. Non-violence means non-doership. You understand? So never do you kill for the taste. Like Swamiji says nicely in the book Vedanta Treatise, food has no taste before it has reached your tongue. Nor does it have a taste after it has left your tongue. Just for those 2 minutes or 2 seconds, 2 inches long tongue, millions and millions of animals are sacrificed. They have no representation from themselves. It has to be coming from the human side. So, Bhuta Yajna, understanding the role played by the animals and understanding that you are part of the total and they are also part of you, so that you don't go to the extent of destroying them. On the contrary, be what best you can to be able to serve the rest of the other beings as well. Then Manushya Yajna, to the species that you belong to, the human species, you have certain things to be contributed. Your talents, your work, your everything, contribute it for them. Your obligation towards your parents, your children, your family, your society, your country, your world, everything. Human beings. That is Manushya Yajna. Then comes Rishi Yajna or Rishi Rina, Brahma Yajna. It's also called as Brahma Yajna. What is this Rishi Rina? The Rishis have through their experience given us the scriptures. It is our obligation to read the scripture and remind us of that goal, the consciousness, to get back to that origin. Every day, studying the scriptures, reflecting on the scriptures, imbibing the knowledge, practicing the knowledge, experimenting it in life and absorbing it becomes an obligation for us. This is how you can pay back to the rishis. What is the real Guru Dakshina you can give to these rishis?
By imbibing
that. All the other Guru Dakshina is not the real Guru Dakshina. Real Guru Dakshina is you living that knowledge by imbibing them. You understand? So the rishis, through their tapasya, through their efforts, through their living, through their experimentation, have left behind the shastras for you, the scriptures for you, the higher values for you. It is your obligation to do daily study, reflection. So in other words, all this Pancha Mahayajna, what you see is a grahastha, a human being, has an obligation to pay back to everything around him. So with an attitude of giving, not with an attitude of taking, he does whatever he has to do. Also in a society, as a son, as a father, as a citizen, you have certain obligations. Do that. Oh, he is not doing it. Oh, she is not doing it. Nobody is doing it. Why should I alone do it? Usually this question comes up. If nobody is doing it, they will have to face the consequence of their inaction. You do not have to follow them. So if you understand that you have an obligation to pay back, you do it. Why do you have to follow other people? Oh, they are not doing it, therefore why should I do it? Which means you are not doing it because it is to be done. Again, the ego is there. An action that is done without ego is Karma Yoga. She says, Niyatam Kuru. Kuru means do. Niyatam Kuru means what has been set. Lord's Ajna, Ishwara Ajna is Niyatam. Niyatam means Viti. What has been told that you should do by the Shastras. Strictly speaking, if you go deeper, as per your guna, you are either a Brahmana or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya or a Shudra. As per your do this as an imposition. Why? Because a lot of people misunderstand it as if it is as per their birth. It is not as per birth, it is as per temper. See, first of all, this caste system is not vertical, it is horizontal. What is the difference between vertical and horizontal? Horizontal means all the four castes are having equality. There is no superiority or inferiority. Somebody is higher and somebody is lower was not the case. Somebody has this nature, therefore he will be better being that. Somebody has some other nature, he will be good in that. And he being good in that, he will help the others, and this fellow can take the help from the others who is good in something else. You understand? You do not know how to sing, so you better don't sing and spoil the whole thing. Somebody else can sing. You can play the instrument, so you play the instrument. Right? So when a classical musician comes and performs, each one does their role, then it becomes a pleasant confluence of music. Isn't it? Others together you can enjoy. Similarly, in this society, each one has a particular nature. You have a particular nature. You express your nature accordingly. But what is happening in the world today is, a dog is trying to be like a donkey. A donkey is trying to be like a dog. This is going on. Instead of that, what is said that as a Kshatriya I must do? What is said as a Shudra I must do? What is said as a Brahmana I must do? According to my gunas, there is no superiority, inferiority here. You understand? So then each one will supplement and complement the other. But this system has become spoiled because they made it vertical. Once it has been made vertical, it became a problem. Then the superiority came. Then obviously everybody wants to be like that. Then the domination took over. Then Brahmanas dominated for a while. Then the Kshatriyas dominated for a while. Now Vaishyas are dominating. Then after a while, Shudras will dominate. Already you see labor class has started dominating in many places. This is a cycle that will continue once the domination starts. Actually, as per the Shastras, as it was conceived in the beginning, there was no superiority, inferiority there. There could be situations where a Brahmana is born to a Shudra, or Shudra is born to a Brahmana. For example, Ravana's father was a Brahmana, mother was a Daitya, but father was a Brahmana. In the case of Prahlada, father is a Rakshasa, Daitya, but Prahlada was Brahmana, right? The guna, if you see. So what we need to understand is, it is by the guna. It's not by the birth. So whatever might be the role that you are supposed to play in a given system, accept that and play. That's what he's saying here. Understanding that there is no superiority or inferiority. In case there is somebody who believes there is inferiority or superiority, it is their madness. Honestly speaking, there is no inferiority, no superiority, nothing. Is kidney superior or brain superior? If you think kidney is not superior, don't worry, take it off. Then you will know. See, everything has its role to play. Are you with me? It is our mind that has played the havoc by creating this division, by bringing in the superiority and inferiority complex. In fact, inferiority complex is also ego need. You want the attention to be around you. You should be the center. I am nothing, I don't know anything. You all are gone ahead of me, I don't know anything, I am nothing. Means what? I am at the center, everybody is around me. I would like to keep myself at the center. Both inferiority and superiority is there. So, niyatam karma. What is the vidhi? Accept that and play your role in a context. Like in the story of Mahabharata, it is said there was some function where Lord Krishna was given the job of taking care of the chapel stand. The invitees come, they leave the chapels, right? Krishna was given the job of taking care of the chapel stand. He did that. Another example, he accepted to be the charioteer. Here is an example of who is believed widely as God Himself, reincarnation of God Himself, accepting to be a charity. Right? So there is no superiority, inferiority in what you do. Just accept it and do it as a dedication for the whole. Then it is karma yoga. Then you will not incur any sin. So niyatam kuru karma tvam. You do niyatam karma. Niyatam karma means obligatory duties. We explain to you what these obligatory duties are. Based on your gunas, based on the role you play in life, based on your goal, etc., etc. And you have an obligation to pay back to everything. So all that you are supposed to do, you do it, but without virtue, as a representative of the Lord. Niyatam kuru karmatvam, karma jahoha karmanaha. When you do it this way, actions are done through you, slowly, slowly your mind matures and you become free from this worldly thoughts. But on the contrary, if you are inactive, then you become more and more corrupt with worldly thoughts. So therefore he says, this is, action is better than action. Even the maintenance of the body, sharira yatra, when you go for a yatra, you sit in the aircraft, and the aircraft takes you around, you sit in the helicopter, you are having a helicopter view. Like that, you are going for a yatra in this body. Now when you go for a yatra in the helicopter, you ask 10 times, no, is maintained, everything alright, any problem? Especially when you go on hearing, so many accidents happening in helicopter. Right? Helicopter, okay, who's maintaining it? Call that fellow. Did you check up these things? How many times did you check up? Okay, one more fellow, go and check once more. You understand? So you are traveling in this body that requires basic minimum maintenance. Even for that, you must do action. So therefore, he says, he is arguing, he is presenting arguments from all different angles as to why one cannot abandon action. And this is what I am trying to say, that text which is so powerfully putting forth arguments in favor of action, people do not want to read when they are young because they are worried that it will take them to inaction. People think, "Arey Baba, you are going to Bhagavad Gita class so soon? Why? You are only 20, you are only 25. But here is the scripture. You are seeing it, right? In what all different ways is putting forth arguments in favor of action. So if you really understand the Gita, it will make your actions more focused. See, everybody has a, you can be an engineer, you can be a doctor, you can be anything you want. Right? But you can't be everything. You have infinite potential. But in actual possibility, in any of them, you can shine. But you have to choose one of them which is in accordance with your nature and put in effort in that direction, then you become a specialist in that field. Isn't it? Everybody is called as doctors. But one is called as ophthalmologist, one is called as cardiologist, one is a nephrologist, one is a urologist. You understand? There are different parts in the body. So each one specializes in a particular part or few areas, right? So exactly like that, you can't know everything, can't do everything. You have a certain nature. According to your nature, you sharpen yourself and then you go on contributing it. And as per having contributed, whatever comes, you accept it. Whether praise comes, censure comes, award comes, doesn't come, doesn't matter. But if you are doing it for these things, then it becomes karma. then you are a doer. Saul is saying in his own portion. So, niyatam kuru karma. Don't try to copy. A gentleman had a dog, also a donkey at home. Because he was involved in the laundry business. So he had a donkey to transfer all the dirty clothes to the river nearby, wash them, dry them, and transport it back to his house in the evening. He was using the donkey for it. And when the donkey was misbehaving, he used to beat it nicely. Right? At night, the donkey was watching, the dog used to bark sometimes very loudly. Master used to come out, look, and then go near the dog and pat the dog. So donkey said, I am doing so much work and the master is beating me. But the dog is barking and the master is coming and patting the dog. So let me also bray. And the donkey started braying at night. He came back and whacked the donkey even more. Because donkey was trying to do the job of the dog. This story communicates a particular thing. Don't take it beyond its scope. Every story has its limited scope. So what is it trying to say is, you have a certain obligation to do as per your guna and your situation in life. Do that. Instead of that, oh, I am only working as a compounder, I should be a doctor. We are comparing constantly, right? Or they are given respect, we are not given respect. Constant focus is upon getting rather than I am here, this is what I am supposed to do. So, as a student, what is your obligation? To listen. And everything that helps to develop that listening becomes your obligation. Everything that takes you away from listening becomes your don'ts. Isn't it? When you are a student, anything and everything that helps you to improve your capacity to absorb is good. For example, sports, that way is very good. That's where children are supposed to play. Playing is an entertaining form of exercising. And when they are exercising, there is a lot of oxygen flow to the brain, which is helpful in their absorption as well. You understand? So, nowadays hardly any children play. If they play, they are playing using the computer. You understand? So, what I am trying to say is, anything and everything that helps the child to improve its listening and absorbing capacity becomes its obligation. The child looks at the parents. The parents are not studying at home. Parents are not studying. Why should I study? Are you with me? In a different context, in the same Gita, in 21st verse, Krishna is going to say, children, follow your actions, not what you say. So, therefore, you should not be inactive, sitting at home and telling the child to read, read, read. You do your duty, they understand, okay, their duty they are doing, my duty is to study, I study. And similarly, anything that will take them away from developing their concentration and listening capacity, it will become their don'ts. That they keep away. All the distractions. This is the way one has to continue doing it as a spoke in the wheel of life without any prefix or suffix, and it becomes karma yoga.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya purnameva vashishyate. Om shanti shanti shanti.